E3 2016 is happening. Kinda Funny is going all out with Let's Plays and reaction videos all week long. Subscribe now at youtube.com/kindafunnygames to not miss a thing. What's up, guys? Welcome to the first ever E3 2016 day one Kinda Funny Games cast wrap up. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the coolest dudes in video games, Colin Moriarty and Greg Miller.
Professor Greg Miller, adjunct professor. Oh, I like Greg it. Miller.
Let me tell you about particle physics.
Oh my God. It's weird because that feels really right. Doesn't I don't like right. it, Greg. I don't like them particle
Look at
physics.
Us. We're purple crew. Like purple crew. Though. Purple crew. Pink brown crew over there.
Oh, the brown. I'll give you the brown.
Thanks. I'll give you the brown the later. Actually, you'll give it to me in the brown. Well, I mean, I can give you the brown. I can give it to you if you want.
God, this sounds nasty.
We can figure it
brown
out.
Brown-eyed girl.
Anyways, you know I'm sitting exactly here because I'm lazy and didn't want to get up and sit there. So Colin is where I normally sit. But the more important information is that this is E3. We got to play a bunch of games.
E3's here.
And by that, I mean, I played one game.
I was going to say, we didn't play. So yeah,
we didn't play a single game today.
We, of course, worked out of the GameSpot booth today, doing the cross Kinda Funny business that'll be up on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Isn't that right, Kevin?
Yeah.
Thank you. And while we were doing that, we talked to a lot of people about their games. David Cage, Detroit.
David Kage, I think his name
is. No, I don't know.
That's what I heard.
Karage. Karage chicken. We talked about a lot of games, and then we ended, and we had 2 hours to go run around and play things. So we all ran around for 2 hours and played stuff.
Tomorrow, we're playing a million things. And the next day, we're playing a whole bunch of stuff. We're seeing a whole bunch of behind closed doors stuff. We're going to tell you all about that. We're going to tell you what happened behind those closed doors. Did you guys see any behind closed doors stuff today?
I did.
Yeah, I did too.
Well, let's start with you, Colin, because you're going to be leaving pretty soon meetings, business meetings and stuff.
By business meetings, I mean the yearly big old Jeremy Dunham Morton Steakhouse extravaganza
roundup. Well, that's where you get some of your, you get some of your scoops you can't talk about, but you talk about, and then you'll also get us those sweet Rocket League exclusives.
Oh, of course.
Which isn't a joke. They're coming by to Let's Play tomorrow with some of the exclusives.
Well, as you know, Rocket League was one of the ultimate Colin was right moments, and so we get basically first right of refusal on everything Rocket League.
It's true.
So I saw two games, went to 2K in South Hall, which I don't think I went to once last year. Actually, no, I did. I went there for YouTube. But other than that, this I didn't even take an appointment last year other than like some Sony behind closed doors thing. So it's the first time I even went to a third-party publisher at E3 since we were at IGN. I saw Mafia 3 and I saw Civilization 6.
Okay.
Now, the most important thing to tell you about Mafia 3 is I had to pee really badly throughout the entire demo, but I still paid as close attention as I possibly could during it is an open world. It is exactly what you think it is. It is an open world sandbox action shooter, third person. It takes place in a version of New Orleans. I don't remember the name of it. It's not New Orleans. It's kind of like New Marais.
New Marais.
Infamous 2. It's actually quite dynamic. It reminded me in some small way of Godfather 2, which was kind of like the underplayed EA published open world sandbox game that came out in like 2009, maybe. It's the game we got like 6 months before it came out. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
We had to put in that long key to play it, I remember.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know why the fuck that game was done so early and then it just never released it. Anyway, it's cool. Thematically, it's really interesting. Looks a little bit old, a little bit dated. I mean, obviously, there's a marquee titles in this particular genre. The most marquee title of all, actually, is in the genre, Grand Theft Auto V. And so you have to really do a lot to beat it. And I don't think this game is even trying to do that. But there's cool systems and mechanics in the game that I really thought were interesting. The one cool thing I like is that, so basically, you're playing as a black Vietnam War veteran in 1968.
A great time to be a minority.
Exactly. And that plays a lot into the southern setting.
Yeah.
Basically, there's an Italian white mob and a black mob in the city. And the Italian mob basically all but eviscerates the black mob, leaving some sort of revenge story to be taken up.
Gotcha.
And so you play as this Vietnam War veteran. He looks like he's in his mid to late 20s. And what's cool about it is that he has like three lieutenants, basically, that he can take over parts of the city and then give them the parts of the city to take care of. But depending on the decisions you make, they showed a part of the game where it's like you kind of fucked one of your lieutenants over. So he actually turns on you completely and you have to kill him. And so there's all these like branching paths in the game that are pretty interesting in that respect.
That sounds cool.
And you like have a sit down with them after you take over part of the city. And like they each make a pitch as to why like you give them the city or whatever. So one of them is like a black woman who's like a native, I think, of the city. One of them is like an Irish dude who's like a mobster. And one of them is an Italian mobster who is like betraying.
Who'd you go?
I was hands off.
Gotcha.
They chose the Italian dude, and then the Irish guy actually turned on us and showed us like he's like, not everyone's gonna see this. Actually, most people won't see this, but you go to his like compound, which is like a steel mill or something, and you like kill all his men and stuff like that. So there's like it is super rife with things to do.
That sounds great. I like that about Mafia too. I like the little parts you're talking about. I can deal with it not being on Grand Theft Auto's level.
It's definitely not. But maybe it is. I mean, I haven't played it, but I mean, just aesthetically and stuff like that. But there's a ton of shit to do. One of the cool things I like, and this reminded me a lot of Godfather 2 in some sense as well, was the entire idea of a lot of the things you're doing in the game is to whittle down the resources of the rivals you have in the city. And there's like a bunch of them.
Oh, that's kind
of
cool.
So like it shows you how much money they're making, and everything you do in the game whittles down the amount of money they're making until it's down to zero.
Okay.
So like you can go after like their drug runner, you can go after like the guy who like launders their money, or you can like go burn down like their facility where they make drugs or whatever, and then that money like total whittles down to zero. And once it's whittled down to zero, it looks like you take over that part of the city.
Gotcha.
Then you give it to one of your people, and then you go about your business. So it is very step by step in that respect. And there's a whole story throughout it as well.
As the three, the Italian, the Irish, and the, I forgot the other one.
The black woman.
And the black woman. Are those the three different things that you're seeing the money go up and down, or is there
Like they're the ones that are like with you, and then there are like rival gangs or like different gangs that you're like trying to kind of screw around with. So they show you like going into a brothel, and this guy is like getting a lap dance by this woman, and you like kind of stealth in and shoot him in the head, and like it says like -$10,000 whatever on the thing or whatever, and you like get money, and then like it whittles down the money, and then you get out of there. And so it's kind of cool. Like I can see myself kind of getting into that. Seems like there's a lot of collectibles and stuff like that. I mean, it looks interesting.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to play it. October 7th, I think that comes out.
Awesome. And then Civ 6?
Civ 6. So Civilization 5, I am not in by any respect an OG Civ fan. I didn't get into Civilization at all until 5. And I really loved 5. I still think Civilization 5 is probably one of the games I played the most of in my entire life. And by hours played, I played that game for fucking ever. Or what felt like forever. I mean, who the fuck knows?
You were playing a PC, so it could have been 15 minutes. It always
I just like remember. That. I just remember for. Well, I remember for what seems like. I mean, I've gone back to it many times in the past, or several times in the past. But I remember what feels like several months of me just sitting
on the couch
with the mouse on my laptop mouse on the armrest, just playing it while I was watching TV. I don't think I played anything else when that game came out for a while on like multiple accounts. I think because I think I downloaded it like multiple times too. I think I just bought it again like last year. Because I have no idea how to use Steam.
Sure.
So
that's how it works. Anytime you want to play a PC game, you buy it again.
So there are little tweaks. I don't know that I even recognize all of them, being not an OG Civ fan. But they're like, you can like layer troops on top of each other now on tiles, which is pretty cool. You can start to make like settlements around your cities. So like it's basically spreading the game out a little bit, which is pretty cool. The entire video they show, which was like 15 or 20 minutes, was basically someone playing and with narration showing you like how your civilization obviously grows from like the embryonic like animal husbandry and agriculture stage to like space, which is the entire idea of the game. And that's one of the ways you can obviously win in Civilization. So it looks cool. Enhanced graphics, battles are cool. One of the great things about Civilization is the asymmetric way that you and other civilizations around you grow. And so at the end they showed Egypt invading your country and your China and this, and obviously people that know Civilization know you can pick your leader and then you get like all these benefits and perks. They invade, Egypt invades China, but China is like way more technologically advanced than them, so they counterattack. And so it's basically like tanks and airplanes fighting against like people on horseback. So these are the kinds of things. So these are the kinds of things that you can get. I mean, like you can reach, as people know, like you can reach the Renaissance in like 1100, and you can reach like the Space Age in like 1600 if you really play it really well, you know? So it doesn't necessarily have to make any sense. So a lot of that seems to be intact. It looks fucking awesome. Also comes out in October. Super excited about it. Met someone from the developer for the first time too, and chatted just for a brief moment with them. So both games look cool. 2K's got a lot of cool stuff. One of the cool things that I was going on with Mafia 3, man, they had a live band playing as well, which was pretty cool. Kind of get that New Orleans flair.
Yeah.
That New Orleans flavor. So
very cool.
It didn't get in the way of the game. Maybe not one of those things. Not like a Perry Farrell yelling in your ear while you're asking.
Oh, no.
Demo's
you
quest.
Could hear it through the demo was so loud that you it would drown. The
Did
demo
they have jambalaya?
They didn't have jambalaya, which was
Zatarain's.
They didn't have Zatarain's. So yeah, those are the two games I saw. And then tomorrow, obviously, we're going to see a bunch of first party stuff or something. Yeah. So.
Those will be broken out throughout the day.
Now, what time is it? I'm sorry to have
it
to
is
run.
7:00.
I got to go.
No,
go.
I understand.
Yep.
That's fine. I can talk to Greg about the games he saw.
All right.
Cool.
Bye. Love you.
Bye. Love you too.
Now, Greg.
Yeah.
You had a whole adventure today.
I had many games I saw today.
Yes. You went to WB.
I did. There's
Warner
a lot of great
Brothers.
Things at the WB.
Damn.
Remember the frog?
The frog?
Yeah. Remember the frog?
Do I remember
Just
the
making
frog.
Sure. Now, Kevin, don't sit down. You've got to, I know you've slacked off all day long. It's time for you to work. All right. You ready to earn your keep?
Work. Shaman, Shaman.
We have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my God.
What we've been waiting for so long. Lego Dimensions, limited edition, Green Arrow. Nick, are you seeing this?
He's halfway there,
Nick,
ladies
if you
and
want to take flash photography, I will allow it. If you now don't touch it. I didn't say you could touch it, Nick. You're going to throw it or something mean. I know you all too well. Here it is, the gold base. We got to go over there. You going?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to A Kind of Funny Unboxing. I'm Tim Geddes. This is Greg Miller. And this is Lego Dimensions Green Arrow.
Limited edition. First thing from year two, because it's got the gold base. Of course, year two we know based on the gold base.
Of course.
Don't we know that, Kevin? Blue, year one. Gold, year two.
No,
this is still the Games Cast. I'm just making it into an unboxing real quick while I build little Ollie. Is that okay?
He asks such stupid, reasonable questions, you know?
I hate it when he asks questions that, like, he's afraid of doing his job wrong.
Yeah.
Now, what I want you to choose... I didn't say sit down. I want you to choose... Do you want him to be frowny Ollie? Like that?
He has two faces. Is Lego doing
that? All Legos do that. Really? Not most Legos do that.
Holy
you got
man.
Frowny Ollie.
2016, have you done?
Do you need time on that one, Kev? We got frowny. Well, imagine a frowny face, people. This is also great for the people on iTunes. Or do you want angry face Ollie? Tim, I'm leaving up to you.
Oh, frowny? Frowny face?
Or angry?
Oh, man.
Frowny?
His beard looks better angry.
All right, we're doing that.
Let's keep him angry.
I'm going to pop his hair on. And then we got a little green hair guy.
Oh, man. How happy are you?
I'm super happy.
Where's your Supergirl?
No Supergirl there.
At all?
No, not there.
Not at all?
No Supergirl.
Not tomorrow?
There is no Supergirl there. They're probably
going to wait till year three.
I'm probably going to have to go to Comic-Con now. Go to Comic-Con and take Lego. All right, cool.
So Warner Brothers.
Went to Warner Brothers. Now, here's what I want to do. We did a video. I think this video might actually beat it. Can I talk about seeing Batman's Telltale, the Telltale Batman game? Or should I not talk about that? Because this is a game I saw today.
Talk
technically.
About this.
I saw it this morning.
The people out there, the Hillers talk about this shit all the time. It's great. They want different perspectives.
But I don't think they're going to have
the same perspective.
Basically, there's going to be a long interview with Joe from Telltale Games about Batman and about Walking Dead. That'll go up here on YouTube.com.
I guess you're right.
Games.
So yeah, but you should wait on that one. You can talk about the other Batman stuff.
Okay, so that's its own thing happening.
Go check it out.
Wait for
it's
that.
Over there, YouTube.com/kind of.
But is it up
games.
Yet? I don't know.
No,
I think
it's
this
not.
Is,
it's not.
This is going to beat it.
But tomorrow it'll be up.
Real question. I liked it a lot. You get to choose. You get to be how you get, what kind of Batman you're going to be. What kind of Bruce Wayne you're going to be. It's cool. It looks really good. I was dodging around so Tim couldn't stop me. All right, I'll just tell you about my WB appointment then.
Okay, go for it. WB, how many games did you see?
I saw Injustice 2. I saw Lego Dimensions, year two. I saw Lego Worlds, and I saw Batman Arkham VR.
All right, we're going to start with the biggest one, Lego Worlds. How is it?
It's, you know, not bad. It's, you know, Lego Worlds has been out for a while. Now, for the record, I only got to play this for like 5 minutes. It was real quick. It was something that was like, oh, do this. Oh, now we can get you into CVR. I was like, oh.
I was joking. I want to hear about Batman VR. Greg, tell me about Batman
I thought you
VR.
Wanted to, we you want to get the appetizers
get
out of the way?
No.
You want to get the appetizers?
No. I want to hear about Batman VR.
Batman VR blew my mind. I think it's one of those where my bar is so low for VR right now. Not that I think VR is bad. You know that I'm interested in VR. You know that I enjoy VR. The problem is, like, when they announced this, remember during the live reaction, I was like, everyone, shut up. What? No. What? What? No. And then I was like, okay, cool. And it was like, well, I bet this is going to be a 10-minute experience. And what is it? Batman Arkham, it's Rocksteady. Is it going to be phoned in? Is it going to be somehow dropped in the world? It was none of the things I thought it was going to be. The deal is that this is going to be a 60-minute experience, so an hour-long experience. When you replay it, you'll find new things in it. There'll be new things to go out and see and experience. Because again, this is like every other first-year PlayStation VR game is going to be an experience, right? Where it's not going to be super deep, I don't think, in terms of like all this length, but like This is the game that I saw today that I am trying to get you all appointments for now.
Okay.
Because as soon as I, like 10 minutes in, I was like, I'm going to give this one of my faces.
One of your game of the show. You only get three of those, Craig.
And it didn't dawn on me until I was walking home that I've now given two of my three to Batman games.
I mean, hey.
But whatever.
There's something to call it. Now, here's the thing, Greg.
Yeah.
We each have our three faces, right,
yeah,
to give away.
Yeah.
And there's also the kind of funny award,
yeah,
that we all need to kind of agree upon as a group of where to give it. Would you make an argument?
That's why I'm trying to get you appointments. I'm trying to get you appointments.
Man.
Because I couldn't stop smiling using it. And again, my bar was low, but you put it on. Like, I got there and, like, this is weird. First off, I wasn't expecting to be here. I had no idea that they were taking Batman Arkham VR appointments. And so when I was there, like, oh, there is. I'm like, yeah, let me get in. They fit me in. And I go in there, and it's Dax, and it's Sefton, and it's the Rocksteady guys. And they're there as excited about this as they're excited about when they showed me Arkham Asylum the first time or when they showed me Arkham Knight the last time. Like, they are in all in on this. And I was like, and they handed it to me, and I'm like, so does it suck? And he's like, what? No, it is. And like, I put it on, and like, dude, as soon as you put it on, you have both your hands, and you have to either pick if you're going to do.
So what do you got going on in your hands?
They are your hands.
But I mean, Move.
Oh, I have Move Wands. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, cool. Sorry. This is a PlayStation VR exclusive. It uses the Move Wands. I have two Move Wands in each of my hand. So I put on the headset and I'm on the roof of GCPD just as the menu. And like, I have to choose if I want to do this one or the other one. There's two little demo missions or whatever. But if you turn around, the bat signal is right behind you. It is up there. It's fully explored. You look around like you are inside the Arkham games. And then you start the first part of the demo, which is basically suiting up, which will be the intro of the game. And you come to or whatever, and you're at the piano in Wayne Manor. And you look around, and you can look around. There's obviously the portrait of your parents. There's all the stuff behind you. And then Alfred walks in eventually and is like, says some stuff. And he's talking to you about, you know, being Batman or whatever. And like, that there's something going on. You need to, he'll meet you in the cave. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I believe this is what you're looking for. And reaches out his hand, and he's got a key in it. And it's all second nature. It all makes perfect sense. I reached over with the Move Wand, grabbed with the trigger, picked up the key, moved it to the piano, unlocked the piano thing, put it up, hit three keys, and then the piano shifts back and like the floor kind of expands.
When you hit three keys, did you just kind of like ape it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You couldn't play Ukrainian Bell Carol?
No. If you knew how to use a piano, I assume you could.
Oh, really?
Greg Miller can't, but I mean, like, he reached out and my hand went from like the I think it might have been the open hand, it went to a finger. So it's like you can hit the keys
doing the
you want to hit.
Theme
so
song?
You totally could hit what you want, I assume. I Rugrats imagine. Theme song. Sure. But it expands out, and then like I'm standing on the elevator and we just start descending into the Wayne Manor. And if you haven't used VR, it's hard to explain, but the coolest thing about VR is when it tricks your mind, and it totally is. Like, boom, like
you feel
that I'm in the elevator, you know what I mean?
God,
and I'm going
so cool.
down, and you get down, and as you go, you know, like you get to the first level and like this, you know, basically metal casket comes up and opens up and it's the suit, right? And it's got the glowing bat symbol, and I reach out and I grab it and I put it to my chest. And like all this, he's not telling me what to do. It's just that obvious. Reach out, put it to my chest, and like, boom, I'm in the bat suit or whatever. And then, and I look down, you don't see it. You're not like I'm looking down, but I know that's what's happened, right? The cowl comes down. You reach out with both hands, grab it, turn it, put it on, and then they bring in a mirror so you can like adjust it, and you're moving your head perfectly. And it's one of those things again with VR where I know how VR works. I fuck it up all the time though, where I'm moving my head and I start moving my mouth. I'm like, oh wait, nope, can't read that. But like, you know what I mean? And then the grappling gun comes, and I have to put it on my utility belt. And then the crime scene investigator gun he uses, and then the batarangs come, and like you get to try them out and throw them out and shoot the grappling gun and do this. And then you go all the way down and you're in the cave. And you turn around, there's the giant Penny, and there's the T-Rex, and it's beautiful. And like they give you a long time coming down to really take in the fact that you're in the Batcave, you're entering the Batcave.
God, this is awesome.
And like it's surreal, and it's fun, and it tricks your mind. And I had a huge grin on my face. Afterwards, when it was done, I walked back with Sefton Dax to give them the award, and I couldn't stop grinning. That was like all day people would ask me, what's the best thing you've seen? What was the biggest surprise you had seen? This is now my answer. Because totally, like, as soon as they announced, I'm like, this is going to be a 10-minute experience and whatever. And like, no, I'm shooting the grappling and doing this. But then they're like, you want to see the second part? And I was like, fuck yes, I want to see the second part. And you click over, and it's a crime scene investigation, right? And like, this is all part of the game that'll stitch together this story that is involved or whatever. And so spoilers for this little bit of story. That's not a real story, obviously. You'll see why in a second. But the deal is that, you know, I basically drop in and like pick up in an alleyway, right? Or I'm on the catwalk fire escape above an alleyway, and I'm there to investigate a distress signal from Nightwing. And so this is interesting now because I'm like, well, how am I going to move around? What does this do? And the way it works is you look around and you see the bat symbol, and you hit the PlayStation Move button, and it warps you to that point, like you're jumping to that point or whatever. Mm. So I jump down. And again, like when I'm on the fire escape, I'm doing that thing where I'm walking around with the Move Wands, and I walk to like the edge of the fire escape and like lean over the railing, even though there's nothing there and all this dumb stuff. Hop down, and you get there, and it's Kevin Conroy. Of course, I should have said this earlier. Doing the voice acting, it's all new voice acting, and it's Dick Grayson dead. It's Nightwing dead.
Holy shit!
So he does like a whole thing of like, oh my god, how did this happen? And you know, blah blah. You scan his body with the thing. You find his neck's been broken, And it's one of those, okay, let's figure out how we do this. I download, you know, his suit's recorder or whatever and start reconstructing the crime scene. But I'm reconstructing the crime scene in, you know, three dimensions all around me. And there's three different places I can hop to put it all together. And so you start going through and, all right, cool. You played Batman Arkham Knight, right? Or yeah. Any of the Batman games.
Oh, I mean, I'm familiar with the
yeah, you rewind. So Arkham Knight. I'm sitting there, and that doesn't matter too much. So I'm in the crime scene and I can hop around the different places and eventually the criminal's there and I see them brawling or whatever. And I'm using the move wand and I have it in my hand, but like in my hand, obviously it looks like the Batman's HUD or whatever. And it's like, I can move the wand as a control. So I can fast forward, I can rewind, I can pause with it. And so I'm just like doing everything you've done in Arkham Knight, but I'm doing it. And like at points I'm dodging. Cause it's like, it's not that I'm from the other side of the screen watching, like they are brawling in front of me. And like, I can get as close as I want to Nightwing while this is happening or to the outline of the crew.
Can you smell them, Greg?
No, I couldn't smell them. Okay. But I, Kevin was there.
You weren't trying hard enough. Yeah,
I know. But they're brawling and it looks awesome. And you have to find the moments of impact. Like when he actually here's where he broke his jaw. And like, it's brutal. Like here's where he broke his jaw.
It sounds really
brutal.
And
you scan it and like that, and you're putting it all together. And like, it was just awesome. And it's not what you think of as the Rocksteady Batman game. Obviously, it's not fighting. It won't be fighting. It's not going to be that kind of fast-paced action. It's going to be, I'm standing here, I warp there, I do this, I put together this crime scene. But it was awesome. And it was something that, like, this is totally the game that, yeah, when people come over and they want to try VR, it's like, you like Batman, right?
Check
fucking
this
be
out.
Batman. Because just descending in an elevator, putting it, because it's, you put on the cowl, you reach into these things and you put on the gloves. And that was the other cool thing I didn't mention. Like when you look down at your hands, when you're at the piano, you're the normal hands, but your knuckles are all cut up and bruised and fucked up. And you put on the gauntlets and you look in the gauntlets and like, it's just, it was so totally, totally rad. And
that's
it was
super
one of those
cool
fun experiences.
During one of the press conferences this week, I tweeted out, I was just like, every single VR trailer always has just footage of people telling you how mind blowing VR is. But it's one of those things where what blew my mind is when I tweeted that, Mark Ryan from IGN responded to me and he was just like, I just ran a poll to people of who has even tried VR. And it's shocking. It was like 90% of the people that, you know, responded to his poll, whatever. But there was like 1,000 votes or whatever. Have never even tried it.
Right.
And it's like, that's why, like you need to keep telling these people that it's worth it, you know?
And I guess that's the best way of putting it. I think when we were watching the PlayStation conference and we're like, oh shit, Resident Evil. Oh shit, Batman. It was like awesome. But it was also marked with that tinge of, well, we've seen a lot of demos so far. And how many of those would I recommend you go out of your way to play? Yeah. Even like the getaway, which we liked, the strings were showing a lot.
Or Kitchen even.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is the first demo where I'm like, this, I'm going out of my way to try to get you guys demos. Yeah. I want everyone to play this and experience it.
That's really awesome. And you know, when we sorry, when we played those things, like it is that mind blowing moment where you're like, whoa, like,
yeah,
this is crazy. And then you kind of think about it more after and you're like, oh, I can't play a full game like this, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that we're a step beyond the people that haven't used VR yet, you know?
Yeah.
So then when we get opportunities to play games like Batman or I'm assuming the Star Wars game, we're kind of already primed and ready to be not disappointed, but we know what to expect.
Our expectations are low. Just
our minds
is,
were
right.
already blown.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to do that again. So then I think that's when people like Rocksteady that obviously care about what they're doing make a product, I think that's when we're really going to start being wowed. And you sound like you were really wowed.
And that's the thing. And I guess, yeah, that's the point is like, as much love as Rocksteady seems to put into or has put into the Batman trilogy, they seem to have put into this.
That's great.
And that's the thing. If that's an hour of fucking awesome, I'm in Gotham, I'm looking around Wayne Manor, I'm going to the Iceberg Lounge and seeing what's up. Yeah, that's only an hour, but
that's an hour.
Awesome, awesome experience.
Yeah. No. Very, very cool. So, moving on from Batman.
Sure.
The Lego things.
Joseph went and saw Lego Dimensions. Well, that was funny. I ran into Nate Ahern, our friend, right?
Uh-huh.
And he was like, oh, what'd you see today? And I was like, oh, man, well, we were on the thing all day. And then I'm finishing that. Of course, I ran to Lego Dimensions. And he started laughing, and then I pulled this out. And he's like, oh, my God, you did. He thought I was kidding from the top of it. Jokes aside, yeah, went and saw Lego Dimensions. Nothing really to report. Like, I mean, it's exactly what I've talked about. We have our trailer breakdown already up. I got to play one of the battle arenas, which is the new thing with the gold guys this time around. You can use blue guys, but the gold guys from year two will be the ones who have their own arenas and stuff. It was fine. It's competitive Lego game, which isn't something that's really happened for, which is cool that they're trying. I'm not going to go out of my way to make you do a Let's Play with me or hang out with it. Cool. It's going to be local. So if you have a bunch of kids, it'll be great.
Yeah. But, if you have a bunch of kids.
Yeah. But I get, you know, I took so many photos of all the new year two toys and
awesome.
I sat down and I made Arthur Parsons laugh. Cause who's like, you know, our boy or whatever from TT Games, but we sat down and I'm sitting there playing and they had the new Ghostbusters story pack on the portal. Cause if you only need the one portal from the original story pack, which you need to play the game. You don't need a new disc. You don't need a new portal for this at all. But if you buy the Ghostbusters story pack, you basically get a new decoration for the portal. And I'm sitting there and it's the Ghostbusters Chinese thing from the new theater or whatever. And I was like, oh, and I'm just like playing. I look down and then I like went and I moved the doors and pushed them back in. And he just started chuckling. He's like, yeah, that works. Like, that's how much we care about this. Don't worry. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Yeah, but that was it. Spike from the Gremlins. He runs on all fours. That was cute. That was fun. Spike, right? Not Stripe. Anybody can I get a fact check on that? Any big Gremlins 1 fans in here? Because somebody in a video... somebody in a video from one, the games industry called them Stripe. And I was like, that doesn't sound right. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways. Saw that. That was fine. Lego Worlds. Played for 2 seconds. It's Minecraft with Lego. But it's been out for a while. You had your chance to get that. And Injustice, I am not, you know, a fighting game dude at all. Mm. I played through the original Injustice. I'm a big DC dude, right? Similar thing here, where this was very much in the minutia of... how they're fighting. And it's like, cool. Like, Gorilla Grodd's got the telekinesis and this is great. Awesome. And they went through, you know, getting the new armor and changing the character. Basically everything we've talked about before and that you saw in the trailer looks awesome. If you liked Injustice 1, you'll like this one. Still, did we ever put that up? Did we put that up? I forget if this is one of the videos killed or not.
Injustice trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's up there.
I got to see it on like a giant wall, those statues in the background. I'm not doubting myself, but it seems like it might still be in the Injustice 1 world because the statues in the back seem to be telling the same story of Lois is dead, Superman does this, then this happens. But then it showed on the other side, like Lex rebelling and taking over. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's happening.
I was wrong about something. You asked me what something said, and I thought it said
crisis,
but it says crime.
I know. Yeah. They were ate alive on the internet for that, didn't they?
Yeah, things happen.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I saw it today, though, and that's the first thing I thought. I'm like, I can't trust him anymore.
Yeah, you can't trust me.
Can't trust him. At all.
You know what you can trust me about? The Legend of Zelda. I said I wasn't going to talk about it on this Gamescast, but I'm too excited.
Okay.
So I want to at least give a little bit of a tad. But what, Kevin? Okay.
Do you want me to go beat him to death?
Yes, I would like that.
He looks intimidating when he stands up.
So, got to play Zelda today.
Yeah. All your dreams
come
true. That's
a pretty fucking cool statement.
Did you give it a face?
What's up?
Are you going to give it a face?
Give it a face.
Are you going to give it one of your kind of funny awards?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the big question going in, this is kind of weird because we're posting a lot of content that we recorded out of order. So I'm sorry if this doesn't necessarily make sense. But earlier,
they don't care.
Earlier
they're
recorded,
in their car right now driving their kid to
a band camp. On the GameSpot set, our game of the show thing, and which was very different than last year's game of the show. Right. Last year, immediately, our first segment out of the gate was game of the show. We gave away all of our stuff. We all knew exactly what it was. This year, jokingly, we're like, let's do that again. And it totally didn't work, which I thought's pretty cool because this year, I think that it has more to do with the showing of games. I think that there's a lot more to think about this year in terms of E3. And I think there's a lot more games that are not so much at the here's a trailer. It's more here is a demo. Here's gameplay. Here's enough to think about and to consider as a game of the show potential face winner.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm very excited about that because we're going to have to make another game of the show thing probably later in the week after we play a bit more of the games. Because like Colin needs to play Zelda like this. I cannot wait to hear what he has to say about it, because I definitely think it's right up his alley.
Nice.
It's simultaneously not what I expected and exactly what we thought it was going to be.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's like it's an open world Zelda, you know, the Skyrim Zelda that we've been talking about, but it doesn't have, at least from we've seen, like we saw like a 40-minute thing. It was me and this guy playing, and there's not like towns and stuff. It's not like at least in what I saw. And that's the thing, is like the demo, he was telling me that what we were playing is 1% of the game. And it was a big, giant map. This game is huge. Huge.
Okay.
And I was shocked because I was like, all right, cool. This area is the grassy part. Then there's a snow part, whatever, whatever. He showed the map and kind of zoomed out. And I was giving him shit. And I'm like, what about that mountain over there we can see in the distance? Show me where that is on the map. And then he's like, oh, you can actually put like a waypoint thing on it and go to the map and look. And it's like, it was so far away. And I was just like, damn, like that's really, really crazy that there is the sense of scale is there. And it's beautiful. It's very grand when you look at the whole thing. But I was shocked that like the snowy sections and stuff, it's not as compartmentalized as worlds tend to be, where it's like, well, here's the Rocky Mountain and here's the grassy knoll and here's the snowy thing, sure. Right?
Here's where we go underwater.
Exactly. It was like, there's a lake, obviously that's going to feature the water stuff, but it's like, there was more kind of fluidity between, it's not just one snowy area. The snowy areas, wherever it's cold, and like there's a temperature system now. There's a lot of new systems in this game. It's very un-Zelda'd. I think that's the thing that I didn't expect that surprised me. Even though we all kind of going into it, we were saying, oh yeah, we want Skyrim Zelda or we want Witcher Zelda or whatever. It's like seeing this now, I'm like, oh my God, Nintendo did something different.
Okay.
Like it's the most un-Zelda Zelda game. And that's saying something because Zelda's kind of been all over the place, sure, with the experimental stuff. But this one, it's really different.
And this all feels good, though. It all feels right.
It feels right. It feels really right. I'm a little bit worried about how big it is because I'm not such a gamer that likes to play these like giant 120-hour quests. Like I don't want to do that. I definitely like the more tightly knit focus things. But it won me over. Like I want to play this. And going into it, when I was talking about the game of the show thing, I was saying that I was thinking I was going to give my game of the show nod to Horizon.
Yeah.
Having just seen the Zelda trailer, I wasn't that impressed by it. I was like, this looks great. It's Zelda. Obviously, we all know it's going to be good. But it didn't wow me. In the same way that Horizon, I gave it my game of the show last year to Horizon. And this time I was like, they wowed me again. It looks awesome. This looks like a game that I really want to play. And honestly, I wish Zelda looked like that. Like they have very similar aesthetics.
Yeah.
And especially after playing it now and seeing it more, I really, really believe that, where the color scheme is very similar. The focus on these animals and just kind of like these animals with glowing blue things. It's like there's a lot of similarities there. Yeah. And man, Horizon's just so gorgeous because it's gorgeous, whereas Zelda is gorgeous because of its design. Mm. And I just NX. You got to give it to us.
X is going to give it to you. Don't worry about it.
But anyways, for way more Zelda, we're gonna put up a Let's Play commentary thing where me and you are going to go through it. Don't know when that's going to happen, but keep your eyes peeled.
Your peepers.
To kindoffunny.com. Anything else?
Telltale Batman was really good too.
Yeah. So
I'm on a Batman kick. No, you used to talk about Zelda all the time. I can't talk about Batman. That's no big deal.
Do you want to talk about it more?
I just said it was really good. Voice acting's good.
You already had your moment earlier talking about it.
Yeah, but you forced me through it. Like I let you talk about Zelda. I remember how I did like the comical thing.
You talked
thing.
About Lego forever.
Forever. God, everybody hates me.
Colin was here.
He was here. That is all. These are just facts. We're in a room.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been, I don't remember, the first ever something. Day one, E3 2016 Gamescast. We're going to be doing a whole bunch more of these. Probably one for day two. Probably one for day three. Day three, including special guest. Should we announce this?
You can try.
I'm going to try. Who knows? Things might change, but we're trying to get Xavier Woods,
Austin Creed. Up, up, down, down gaming. He says he's coming. Murph says he's coming.
Murph?
Murph.
Oh.
No, Murph. We can get Murph probably too if you want Murph.
We have videos with Murph and Logic going up too. Yeah. That was cool. And Meg Turney. You should just stay tuned.
YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Subscribe there for all of your needs. We're on our way to 200,000 subscribers. Thank you very much for that. Until next time. Thank you, Greg. I'm dying.
He saw Zelda. He saw it's all he wanted. Now he's going to fade away, break up into little pieces of paper and go off. Remember when that happened with Sandman at the end of Spider-Man 3? That was a bad movie.